Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
With the Zoo Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday we were shaking the Monday morning blues with the new time group and our relationship conversation. This warning signs you're dealing with an evil person. That's one of the things we came across. They enjoy the misfortune of other people. Oh, you know, you're dealing with an evil person at that point. You know, even the Dukan crew said, hey, there are some people that purposely set up people to have misfortune. That is a lot of energy and a lot of time to be setting up someone purposely for misfortune. Oh, my goodness. They have control issues. Absolutely a sign that you're dealing with an evil person. You know, a person who could care less about what someone else feels or thinks or wants. You know, that they have to have control over the person or other people. Absolutely. Okay. What else are we talking about here? They are habitually dishonest. Yes, I'm going to get those two words kind of close. Yes. You know, if you're manipulative, you know, to want to get in someone else's head or to get out of a person something that you want, and the only way to get it is to lie about it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would say that's a sign of an evil individual. Yes. Okay, listen, don't kid yourself. We're not talking about, you know, someone lying on a school application because they want their child to get into a better school. And so they're going to lie about an address. No, we're talking about malicious stuff here. Okay. All righty. Well, you feel strange around them. You know, listen, don't underestimate when God gives you discernment of who you need to be around. And sometimes that may come, you know, with a feeling. You know, it may not come from something else. You know, somebody literally telling you, you know, that there's something wrong with the person. I've been around people and I just don't get good vibes around them. there's something that makes me feel a little off, you know, when I'm dealing with them or when I'm around them. No. Yeah. You know, I'm not playing with that. I'm not underestimating that feeling. I'm going with that feeling that I have that something is wrong. Yes. And I just may be dealing with a person that this spirit might be really nasty. And remember now, if you had the spirit of the Lord, you're going to have that discernment sometimes. So listen, don't brush that off. Don't brush that off. It doesn't mean that every time that's it. Because, you know, like I gave the analogy yesterday or the example yesterday, you know, my mother used to always say, you know, I just don't like that person. You know, and sometimes, you know, maybe she was right and she just couldn't put a finger on it. But my mother was real funny style. You know, and, you know, she just went with that, and that was her feeling. But we're not necessarily talking about just your feeling. You know, there has to be some other stuff that, you know, goes along with that. Okay? But we're not going to get carried away and all of that kind of stuff. But make sure you pay attention to things. You know, we're going to continue this conversation, you know, because, you know, we have to really come to the conclusion of what we're looking at here in people. And I don't think we need to be ignoring who people are, you know, or if you're evil or mean or, you know, yeah, those are the things you need to pay attention to. I don't think we need to ignore that stuff. And maybe that's why so many people get caught up in the domestic abuse and domestic violence situation, because, you know, they're brushing some of the things they see on the side. I know I am one who can raise my hand, you know, years, many, many years ago, you know, when I dealt with that, you know, part of it was me brushing it off. And when I decided to pay attention to it, it was too late. I was already involved. Once you're out there, it's hard to get reeled back in. You know, so pay attention. Pay attention. God doesn't give us these senses for nothing. Yeah, you know, he gives it to us for us to use. So please make sure you do so. Okay? All right. Well, we would not have a wonderful Monday if we did not have our switch tip with Shantice. And this week's switch tip is stop pushing people out of the church. Wow. Interesting one this week, huh? Yeah. We got some stuff to talk about today, because there are many ways you can push people out of the church without even realizing it. You know, she gave an instance of a story yesterday of a long-lost mother who, you know, finally connected with a daughter after so many years, and daughter didn't realize what she was, you know, kind of pulling herself to. Mom had it in church and she was enjoying it, and all of a sudden, church went buck wild. You know, we don't want to go buck wild. You know, this church went buck wild in one way, but we have people who go buck wild in the church on a consistent basis. And, you know, pushing people out of the church is so easy to do these days, because people, A, are fickle. People, A, are just kind of grasping. You know, they just may be trying to find something. You know, they keep hearing about this man named Jesus, this man named God. you know, and they just may be wanting to give it a try. Well, we surely don't want for them to have the desire to come to church and then all of a sudden be thrust out with some nonsense. Yeah, because the same way they come in that front door, they could go out the back door. And we don't want to be responsible for that. People really need a savior today. And, you know, I don't really care why they come to church. I've just never, as long as you don't come to church to start trouble, I've never been one to really care why people come to church. Oh, they come to church for this man. They come to church for a woman. Yeah, how many people have done that? You know, they come to church because they want a blessing. But how many people have ended up staying and God's changed their life? Now, I'm not saying you should come with ulterior motives. That's between you and God. Let God take care of that. But faith comes by hearing. You know, and I do believe that God has allowed, you know, some people to be, you know, duped. You know, they think they're coming to be split. They're coming to get something, but in exchange, he has something for them. So you definitely want to, you know, check that out. So check out what God does. And while God is doing his thing, you don't want to be doing your thing and while you pushing people out to church. So check yourself. Check yourself, check yourself, check yourself. Because you don't want to be the one where God can put his finger on because you drove somebody out of the church. All righty? So, like I said, we got some stuff to talk about today. And, you know, that brings us to, let's talk about it. Tuesday Church Folk Day. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And we do have some stuff to talk about. I pulled up a couple of very interesting articles for us to talk about today, some news stories. And I'm so happy to have you here with us today. So thank you for joining us. Don't say you are not officially welcome. All right? So go ahead and get that healthy breakfast. Go ahead and tell somebody that it's tea time with Pastor Steph is on. And make sure you go nowhere because we'll be right back.
For more than a century, the Canadian Red Cross has been helping the most vulnerable people in Canada and around the world, including those who often go unnoticed. Each year, the Canadian Red Cross trains thousands of Canadians in bullying prevention. Because every child has the right to feel safe, helping to make sure that happens is one of the most important things we do, with your support.
Good morning and good morning to you. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. Yes, it is officially Bully Prevention and Awareness Month. And I think it's on point with the fact that it's also Domestic Violence and Abuse Awareness Month. And you think about it, a lot of times people end up being bullied because they were little bullies. Yes, and all the times when their moms and dads said, oh, you know, they'll grow out of that. Oh, you know, they're just doing this to their kids. Oh, don't worry about that. No. Pay attention to everything, because they're making somebody's life miserable, even in school. You know, you don't just become a bully overnight. You're just realizing, you know, I was having a conversation last week and just realizing, you know, one person has been a menace to so many people. Yes. So you think about it, it's all those times when, you know, they were doing this and doing that and nobody was paying any attention, or people were making light of it, or, you know, he was like secretly torturing many people. And then every time you turn around, you had another person you heard. They were controlling and bullying. Listen, this is no joke. You got to pay attention to this stuff here. Okay? All right. So what are we talking about today? Well, I came across something that I thought might be a little interesting today. And it's a list from people who married their high school sweetheart, but it turned out a little differently than what they may have thought it should turn out. You know, people think, oh, I married my high school sweetheart, things are going to go well. Well, not all the time. Not all the time. Okay. Well, some person said, we met during our senior year of high school, and we were intentionally non-committal because we were headed to different colleges that fall. But then we accidentally fell in love over the summer. And we got married 3 weeks later, and it lasted for 12 years. Yeah, I thought it was going to be on again, off again. But it ended up lasting a little longer. 12 years is a long time. All right. Well, they said another one. My husband and I started dating when we were 16. And we've now been married 12 years and have 2 kids. We both had dysfunctional family lives when we were teens. So we clung to each other for support as we grew into adulthood and forward. Wow. Well, they say, but we think that we were always kept together from the beginning for that reason, but, you know, it ain't going too well. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Wow. I married my high school sweetheart at 19, and 10 years later, we were divorced. We slept with the realtor while we were looking to buy our first house. Wow. Wow. What else? Here's one. I started dating my wife in 2012 during the summer before our junior year of high school, and we just got married on our 10-year anniversary. Of course, over the decades, we've had ups and downs, but we have always stuck together like glue. We handle things as a unit, which has helped us in our relationship and in parenting our 2 amazing daughters. Didn't think it was going to work, but it ended up working. Nice. Nice. All right. What else we got here? Let's see how Mary and our sweethearts from high school worked out. We got married right out of high school because I got pregnant. And while I was pregnant, he cheated on me. We recently got divorced because of his narcissistic tendencies and manipulative behavior. And he's currently with his affair partner. The only thing I don't regret was having my daughter. I just regret having her with the wrong person. How many of us can tell that story? Ah. Let's see. We got together at 17 and got married 5 years later. The relationship was comfortable but far from thrilling. I stayed because it was safe and stable. But then when I was 31, I realized that I'm a lesbian and that I can't continue being in an unfulfilling relationship with a man. Wow. Wow. We started dating when we were 17 and we were not good for each other or to each other. We ended up breaking up, getting back together, and breaking up again. Typical young love kind of stuff. We eventually got back together during our senior year of college, and our families were unsupportive. But after we graduated, moved in together, and our families saw how happy we were, how mature we were, they all came around. How nice. How nice. There's another one. Let's see what we got here. We're really talking about how we, you know, how high school sweethearts. 40 years ago, I was a junior in high school, and I said goodbye to the love of my short life for the last time. Her name was Annie, and she was headed to college 350 miles away. The pain was palpable. My world dimmed, and nothing looked the same. At times, I wish I'd never met her. Well, fast forward 4 years, and I set out to find her. It only took one phone call, and we were hooked. We got married, and it has been bliss ever since. Wow. Isn't that a nice story? A nice story. You know, we can all tell a nice story every once in a while. Wow. We met when we were 16, started dating at 18, and had a pretty decent life together before getting married at 26. She cheated on me immediately after the wedding, and though we stayed together for 3 more years, I found out she had a year-long affair with that person again during our last year together. Eventually, I realized how many aspects of our relationship were toxic that I ignored because we were so young and naive when we started dating. I learned more about myself in the year after we separated. I do regret marrying her, as I knew something wasn't quite right but couldn't put my finger on it. Well, of course not. You started dating when you were like 16 years old. What do you know at 16 years old? Wow. We met when we were 14 and dated on and off through high school. The summer going into senior year, we both wanted to lose our virginity. So we started hanging out and never stopped. We've been together for 12 years and just celebrated 1 year of marriage. So you know what side of the fence we're on because we don't ever refer to having sex as hanging out. let's look at this one. I met my husband in sixth grade, and before I even knew who he was, I saw him and told my best friend I was going to marry him. We dated off and on from 7th grade through 10th grade, and then I got pregnant at 16. We got married a few months before our daughter was born, and now we have 3 beautiful kids. He's the love of my life and my best friend. We grew up together, and we were there for each other through some really tough times and some really great ones. He's the reason I believe in soulmates. Wow. Well, you know, some people, as we see, there are some people who work, you know, worked out perfectly. Some people had their ups and downs, and, you know, they had to go through some changes. But, you know, when you're in high school, you go through a whole lot of changes. You know, so I admire people who actually got married in high school and they could actually say that, you know, it's worked. It's worked for them for all these years. Because, you know, as you're going through changes, that person is also going through changes. So you never know how it's going to turn out. So, you know, that's an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing. You know, listen, we don't even know how it's going to work out when we big grown adults. Because everybody's still going through some stuff. So to see that people who were in high school, you know, made it. And they are still together, have a happy family. They've raised successful children. Yes, I know a couple of people like that. You know, when I went to my high school reunion, there were two couples there that had been dating when we were in school. And they are still married today and happily married. You know, some people say, oh, you don't know. Yeah, you know, you don't know. You're right. But you know what? I'm not going to throw no cold water on their beautiful relationship. Well, at least that's the way they tell the story. So unless I hear differently, why am I worried about telling the story any differently? Right? All right. Well, what are we talking about today? Wow. I got some stuff. All righty. There's a listener submitted story. So, investigators are searching for five women and one man who was captured on surveillance cameras leaving the apartment of a 22-year-old woman whose murder was discovered after authorities located her dismembered remains inside of a suitcase in her East New York apartment. Okay. Her boyfriend is a lead suspect in the murder, and he's been detained by police, and he's got an active arrest warrant. And I tell you, this is crazy. She had a restraining order against her boyfriend when he dismembered her and she was found in a suitcase. So again, these restraining orders mean absolutely nothing. Okay? So they said that, you know, come to find out that he was victimizing her and he was seeing some other chick. And after he did what he did to her body, he gave the other chick her EBT card. Now, you don't know where this EBT card came from, but they got you using the EBT card, and now you're involved, And again, here it is again. Are you going to treat this other woman so well that when he brings you an EBT card with another woman's name on it, you're going to go use it? You're going to ask a question? He ain't treating you all that well, and he's treating her badly. Nah, let me tell you something. Again, if he has dismembered her, he not only victimized her, but he killed her. Not only did he kill her, but he cut up her body and put it in a suitcase. Ain't no way in the world he treating you like gold. You know what? Oh my gosh. Now, they said when they went inside, blood was everywhere, pints of blood. Well, I guess so. He cut up. You know, it was a nasty sight, they say. And they said that, you know, the family is saying that they blame the building security for not protecting her the way they should have. And, you know, because he had something back earlier this year when he was terrorizing her. And, you know, this is another situation where, again, these pieces of paper mean nothing, where, you know what, you need to have an exit plan, because you cannot underestimate these people. You cannot underestimate these people. They are vicious and they are crazy. And you've got to take them for what you see. You cannot, you know, be looking around talking about, oh, you know, he's not going to do that. He would never do anything like that. Look at what happened yesterday with the baby. You know, the man who poured the boiling hot water down the baby's throat. You really have to pay attention, ladies and gentlemen. You really got to pay attention. Because there are signs, I promise you. I promise you there are signs. I don't know. What else are we talking about today? I know it's gruesome, but you know what? It's Domestic Violence and Awareness Month. All right? Gotta give these stories some attention, because look at how many people are falling victim to the person that they know, to the person who was, you know, they were in a relationship with, and now they want out. You know, there might be someone who's listening who needs to understand that this stuff is real, that this stuff is serious, that they need to pay attention to. And we cannot dismiss this from talking about it to people. Okay? All right. You see something, say something. Can't walk away. Well, I have another story. It has nothing to do with domestic violence or abuse, but atypical for druggies. Okay? Now, it may not be atypical to go this far, but, okay, so here you have this 45-year-old man who was dealing with another druggie. So two of them were druggies, okay? And him and another person gave the victim $19 to buy some drugs. So they say he left to go get the drugs, but when he came back hours later, he didn't have the amount of drugs that they thought he was supposed to have. So Mr. Rook became upset, started pacing back and forth, yelling at the victim, and then he hacked the victim with a machete. Now, when he did that, the victim fell to the ground, and he struck him a few more times while he was lying on the ground. So Mr. Rook, I guess, got real annoyed and crazed and walked off, went away for a few minutes. But when he came back, he noticed that the guy who he struck with the machete had walked off. So he grabbed a steak knife. Now, all of this is going on in the woods, okay? All of this is going on in the woods. He ran after the victim and stabbed him. After the man fell to the ground, he stabbed him several more times, ultimately killing him, okay? So they ended up, I don't know how they were found, but he ended up being arrested and charged for first-degree murder. Now, here's the interesting part why I found it interesting enough to talk about this thing. You initially stab him with the machete, but you don't kill him. But when you walk off and when you come back and he's gone, now you're mad. Madder. So I guess he was supposed to stay there. You thought he was at least down. But no, when he gets up and walks off, you figure, hey, you ain't walking off with my drug money. You're not walking off with the drugs. You're not walking off with anything. And you stab him with a steak knife in the woods. So where'd the steak knife come from in the woods? Where'd the machete come from? Now, why I said this is atypical of, you know, people who use drugs. You know, you've seen it, you've heard it, you've heard about it. You know, they give the money to somebody to buy the drugs, and somebody don't do what they're supposed to do, and now they're arguing. And I said it like that, arguing. Now they're arguing. And now you got somebody dead for, listen, $19 worth of drugs. Now, you already know the people. You already know the people using drugs. Can they really be trusted? So y'all in the woods, so y'all entrusted this one guy to go buy the drugs. Y'all didn't put together your $19. He goes buy the drugs, and y'all really thought he was coming back? Well, guess what? He did. I guess he was a little afraid. He didn't want to not come back at all. Because, you know, they know where to find one another. And probably the choices of where to buy, you know, that's not great. Probably keep going to the same person. So, you know, eventually you're going to run into the, you know, to the people. So I guess you figure, let me go back. So you don't really know whether the amount of drugs is correct or not. Because, again, you know, they get kind of paranoid. So, you know, you really don't even know. But now you're going to jail for less than $20 worth of drugs for murder. For less than $20 worth of drugs. Where am I due time correct? Where am I due time correct? Just talk to our due time crew. We got some other stories to talk about, but we talking today. Let's say good morning. Pastor Shaw. Good morning, Pastor Charlotte.
Good morning, good morning. How are you, my darling?
I am doing well. Thank you. I'm doing well. How are you over there?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay.
That's good. That's good. So let's talk a bit. So we've got this boyfriend who victimized this woman before. She's got a restraining order, and he kills her, and then gives the girlfriend the EBT card of the woman he killed to go and use. Now, Pastor Sean, somebody come bring you an EBT card. Are you going to ask some questions?
Oh, absolutely. I want to know where she at, why you giving me her card. I'm going to ask a whole bunch of questions, and then I'm going to still be leery, and I'm not going to use it. Because it does, it'll come back to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, see, I want to know, you're supposed to be my man, but you got somebody else's. You got somebody else's EBT card. I think that's worth a question or two. What you think?
Oh, more than two. First of all, are you gonna lie and tell me it's your sister, your cousin? You know, I ain't never met her. You know, so yes, you want to ask a whole bunch of questions about that.
Yeah, you know, but these people are so trifling. You gonna kill this woman and then take her EBT card and give it to somebody? How do you even get to the point where that's where your head is?
Well, you know, there are some women. I know, for example, a man that was dating as he was married, and he beat on his wife, and she got so sick. He was giving the girlfriend the clothes. She was wearing the clothes. She was wearing her shoes, and she wasn't even dead yet. So they do it because they, and where that it got so bad to where that even on her, when she died, the girl came to the funeral, the girlfriend came to the funeral, and the children knew their mama clothes, and she had it on. So you know it was crazy there, right? Yeah.
Wow.
And going even to this, she had a order protection. The wife had an order protection, you know, and domestic violence was just like we were talking about. And it was because of him, actually, because he kept beating on her and taking her head and hitting it against the wall and stuff. And that's how she died. So this stuff is real. Stuff is real.
Wow, that's crazy. That's crazy. But like you said, I mean, you so trifling, you even got the woman, your new woman, wearing your wife's clothing. Pastor Charlene, I'm telling you, these people are too much. I'll never forget, there was a woman who... there was no domestic abuse or violence, you know, but I'm going to tell you something. This was some mental abuse. They had two little boys. Come to find out that the husband, while she was at work, he was bringing the woman in the house, cooking dinner, serving her wine, and also, wait, the pictures of the wife was up, right? So he would tell women that was his sister, and told the sons to call him uncle.
Wow!
Told them to call him uncle. Now, how in the world you going to tell the kids to call you uncle, Pastor Charlene, and then when mama come home, you now daddy? Oh, I can't take it. I can't take it. This is a bit much.
Well, let me tell you, my first husband, well, my kid's father, let me say it that way, my kid's father didn't want them, the kids, to call him daddy. Call him by his first name.
Wow.
So when he got around the women, that's what they called, by his first name. Wow. So you can say they're not my kids. Right?
Wow. Man, all these plans. Mm-hmm. It's scary. The lens people are going to. I'm telling you. Oh, my goodness. All right. So now you have the two druggies. So I don't kill you with the machete, Pastor Charlotte. I kill you with steak knife. Oh, gosh. It's not funny. But when you think about it, it's like, really? For less than $20, you going to jail for this nonsense. And you going for a long time for less than $20, Pastor Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought of, how can two people get how much drugs for $19? So I thought that he went on. He got his first hit, right? Let me get mine first. And I'm going to bring the rest back. And then we share that little bit. And the steak knife is more personal. See, the machete, I guess, you know, I don't even know where that come from, but the steak knife, I'm standing in front of you. I'm leaning over you. So it's more personal as I'm killing you.
Oh, yeah. Because they said that he stabbed him, and then when he fell, he got on top of him, and he continued to stab him until he was dead. So, yeah, that was quite personal. That was quite personal.
Mm-hmm.
That was quite personal. Goodness gracious me. Well, thank you for joining me this morning. Let's get a little chat on with our girl Tamika. This Pastor KL missed the first couple of stories. We got two more stories coming right behind us. That's going to take up our time because these people ain't playing. Good morning, Tamika. How are you?
Good morning. I am doing wonderful. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I'm glad to hear that you're doing wonderful. And let's talk about this thing here. So you killed, you know, your ex, clearly, because she had left you, got a restraining order. You kill her, and then you take the EBT card and give it to your new girlfriend, and she uses it. Now, me and Pastor Charlotte had already said, you couldn't come bring me no card with Mary Jones on it. But wait, EBT cards also have pictures. Come on, Tamika. You spending that money?
Yeah, we having a shopping spree. You know, somebody said it's free. You go handle that. No, you know, of course I'm just joking. But honestly, you know, we keep talking about red flags. We keep talking about looking at the signs before you engage. You know, you have to pay attention. You know, and it's sad because we've also talked about the representative. The representative is everywhere, you know, and you got to be wise. You come to me telling me, you know, you got a card with somebody. Okay, who is this chick? You know, where's she come from? You know, is she aware that we have her card? You know, I'm keeping this all the time. I'm not understanding. You're going to have to explain to me what we doing, how we doing, how it is that you got the card. You know, I remember back in the days when – you know, you used to be able to get a card to make phone calls, long-distance phone calls that would keep you, you know, to save a bill. You know, and the funny thing was everybody was doing it, but nobody questioned what's what. But if you come to me with somebody's, you know, card, how am I walking in there? My ID, I'm sure I don't look like this lady. I'm just supposed to walk in there and get what I need and leave? That doesn't make sense. You know, there's a whole lot of cunning out there. You know, and you better pay attention to the signs as they come, you know. And just on a side note, you know, since we're talking about deception, I remember a lady that I knew. This guy was, I mean, slick, married, living with another woman. And because they were in the dating phase, he was always bringing her gifts. You know, she was just loving it. She was eating it up. He would buy her this and, you know, oh, it's something else that you need for the home. Let me go get that, you know. And the whole, everything that he told her was a lie. He was telling her that he had a job in construction. He was going up the street from where she lived. She lived in the South. And he was getting the red dirt, you know, the clay dirt that you see down in the southern states. He was going out there, getting his hands dirty, putting the dirt on his shirt, his T-shirt, his pants, and all the gifts. Every gift, when I tell you every gift that she ever got, he was bringing it from his home and bringing it to her. So, you know, so I don't know what happened or how the wife found out, but she came to the house and she was literally, that's mine, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine. And, you know, of course, the lady's like, well, I didn't know you were, I had no idea that you were married. You know, and so these are the type of things. You better, when I say you better pay attention, you better come in with your eyes completely. Don't wink. Don't blink. Pay attention wide open because this is what the type of stuff that's out there.
Wow. You know, I tell you, men are so trifling. They are so trifling. Yeah, I'm listening to the stories that you and Pastor Charlene are talking. I told my own, you know, a story of one that I heard, you know, of the guy who, you know, was bringing a woman into the house, cooking a dinner and all of this kind of stuff. It's like, you know, they're not, it's good Lord. You really spent your time. Why get mad? I don't understand. Why get married? You know what? Let's ask Pastor KL. Why get married? Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, and welcome to the bashing show on the Pastor Steph. Bashing of men. Welcome.
You know,
I said, sit down and have a seat as you get stabbed with a steak knife.
You know, I'm sorry. You ain't no room with no man out here. You know, we just said three different stories that were told this morning. One, you know, Pastor Charlene told the story of, you know, her ex-husband, you know, the kid's father, you know, he told the kids, don't call him daddy, call him by his first name. So when he got around the women, you know, that would be flagged creep. You know, I talked about, you know, the guy who was married and inviting, you know, the chick on the side in the house and was not told the kids to call him uncle. Now, you calling him uncle while the woman's there, but yet you're calling him daddy when mama's there. Oh, God. Okay. And then you just heard the story that Tamika just told. So my question is, why even get mad? Why are we even bothering?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. You know, I mean, some men get married for security. You know, they ain't got no place to stay. You know, so and we know that you on the come up, you know what I mean? So we go stay with you. You know, but I mean let's go to the other section. How many times in my former life have I been Uncle KL? You know what I mean? I wasn't their uncle, but I was Uncle KL when I came around. You know what I mean? So women play that game, you know, just as much as men do.
But that's a different
uncle. That uncle thing.
No, it's not. Uncle KL is Uncle KL because you don't want your kids to know, you know, that, now I ain't never played this game, I'm just saying, you know, they don't want their kids to know that this is another man in their life. I ain't never played that game because I had no kids around my, no men around my kids like that. But that's their game. You know, the game is, okay, I don't want you to know how many men I'm seeing.
No, listen, okay. Now y'all gonna make me tell the truth. Y'all gonna make me tell them myself. I've been with women in my former life who are married, and they might have been a truck driver or something where their job carried them away. And I was Uncle KL. They knew who Daddy was. They knew I wasn't Daddy. But I was Uncle KL. It's the same thing. Women play the same games that men play. In fact, women play it so well, they don't get caught as much as men, because men get sloppy with it. But women play the same games. So go ahead and get yourself another steak knife, because I'm sure there was a sex. And now we got to stab some of these women.
You know what? How we get there? How we get there? We know the drunk not the people. Now, no. But, you know, sadly speaking, you know, that was the whole premise of this story, you know, this news story where the guy, you know, clearly they had some abuse issues. And, you know, she had a restraining order. That didn't work because while she had the restraining order, he went inside. He killed inside a house. He killed her and dismembered her body and put it in a suitcase and then took the car and gave it to the girlfriend. So it's like you really have no remorse at that point. You're just passing on the car.
Yeah, but you know what? He also played that wrong. He also played that wrong. And I'm going to tell you why he played that wrong. Now, before y'all call in, Pastor Steph, I'm not saying it was all right to kill the young lady. But what he should have did with the card, he just gave her the card once a month. Because, listen, in my former life, you know, we all bought some stamps from somebody. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, listen, I'll book some more stamps. Hey, you want to go buy something? You want to go buy something? You know what I mean? But to give her the card is crazy. But, you know, saying if every month, hey, she had a few extra, you need something? You know, I mean, that's how you play that game.
But she was stupid because who's taking a card with somebody else's picture and name on it? So you won't come give me this
right, but,
card.
But I don't know where she was because most of these EBT cards ain't got no picture on.
Oh, here in New York they do.
She got a name.
No.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. They have your picture on it. So that's what I'm saying. You just put in, okay, let's go with your scenario where there's a card with just a name on it. Now you got three women right
mm-hmm.
here telling you, I'm sorry, you come bring me a card from Mary Jones. You have to explain to me why you got Mary Jones' card, where this card came from, and all three of us have said the same thing. We're not just busting out no card at the grocery store and swiping.
Yeah, but that's if he's giving you the card to keep forever. Like I said, if you just played it like, hey, I bought a few stamps, you know what I mean? Let's go out here and make it do what it do. You know, then it shouldn't be a problem if you bought some stamps.
Okay,
and especially
so Pastor
if you
Charlotte.
Buy it from the same person.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna
ahead.
Cut you off, but I'm cutting you off. Pastor Charlotte, Pastor KL says, all right, come around the third of the month. Each month, he brings you the card. You not going to ask no questions because it's
funny. I'm sorry. It still has her name on it. I'm still going to ask you who card this is. And I already know it's going to be a sister or a cousin that you're lying. So I'm not going to use the car.
No, listen. When I got cars, and used it, and my wife said, hey, who car this is? It's Tanya car. I ain't got no sisters in Alabama. I ain't got no cousins in Alabama. Listen, I'm trying to save some money. Do you want a Twinkie or not? If not, I use it for myself.
Tamika, do you want a Twinkie or not?
I'm gonna pass on that Twinkie because I'm not going to jail for you. Gonna have to tell me something more. You did you file you know, is there something, you know, legal? Am I going to jail because I decided to go to the Swiftie as soon as I put the card down? Woo, somebody's coming to get. No, no, no. You're going to have to tell me a lot more. You're going to have to clear something up. I'm not raising the roof because I decided to get a Twinkie. Because all of a sudden, as soon as I put my hands up, they come and say, no, no, no. You're going to have to give me more information than that, a lot more.
Okay, so here's my thing. So the ladies have spoken.
That's why y'all hungry now.
Listen, I'm going to be starving because here's my thing. It's one thing if you bring me a card one time. It's another thing if this is the third month in a row, you still bringing me Tanya's card. So my Tanya said it's okay to use it. No, I need to meet Tanya. Tanya about to tell me who she is. Tanya about to tell me why it is. No, to me, the more you keep bringing around Tanya's card, the more I got a question. Nah, man, you would have done better bringing me that card one time, and then next month, bring me Frankie's card or something.
That's just that. Tanya going to be your friend. How about that? When Tanya come around, Tanya going to be one of your friends that you know. How about that one? And you and her had the same man.
Absolutely. I'm not, no, uh-uh. You're going to have to tell me something. You're going to have to tell me something, too.
Where's Brother Al when you need him? Where's Brother Al when you need him?
He's over here
and playing basketball. Huh?
Oh, my goodness. Nah, uh-uh. You have to do something a little better than that. You have to do something a little better than that. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm sorry, Pastor Steph. I just want to ask Pastor KL. So now, if let's reverse it, and the female brings you a card, you going to take it? And she's supposed to be your woman. And she give you this card with this. We're going to reverse it because I want to know what you would do. So we reverse it, and it was a card with a man's name on it, and she supposed to be all into you. She your girl. Are you going to not ask no questions?
The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just.
Oh, you know what? I'm done. You know,
I'm done.
You're going to hell. You are going straight to hell. Don't pass gold. Do not pay $200.
Wow, on a Pastor Steph show.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Now, somebody wrote in, someone just said to me that they're about to call their food stamp hookup. When you're into doing that, it doesn't matter whose name is on the card. I'm not, no, that's all right. I'm not doing that. It's okay. All righty. So, we got two.
Somebody on my side.
No, we're not crooks, and men do too many shyster things. No. And she's a trifling person because she, let me tell you something, she took that card and she used it. Oh, yeah, she's trifling. Because did the card have blood on it and he gave an excuse for that, too? I don't think so. You just cut up a whole woman and gave away the card. So here's my question. What
it's
happened
tomato.
When you found
it's
out
tomato sauce.
That the card came from someone who was dismembered by the person who gave you the card? What did you say then? I'd love to hear that answer. All right.
Was the Twinkie worth it?
Right. Absolutely. So that's why we said we ain't taking the Twinkie, Pastor Taylor. We ain't taking the Twinkie. All righty. Church folks stop. So they say that out in Uganda, there was a young lady, and I'm trying to see her age here because I don't see her age. Oh, she's 23 years old. She was 23 years old. And come to find out that she was poisoned by her stepmother.
So here's the story. The young lady's friend tells the story that she and her girlfriend went home. She was staying, the young lady was staying with, living with the stepmother. So they went home late one Sunday. And when she got home from church, she said that the mother, the stepmother asked her, why was she home so late? And she said she had been to church and that she, you know, at this particular church service, she had given her life to the Lord and got baptized. So the stepmother, they said she just stopped. She was preparing food and she just stopped talking. And she continued to prepare the food and then she walked out the room. The friend said that the next day, the young lady was fasting and didn't eat. I'm getting this all mixed up. That the same day, she had fasted and hadn't eaten, but within minutes of eating from the stepmother, she started complaining about bad stomach pain. She began vomiting. She called out, and the girl called out for the stepmother, but the lady never responds. After the neighbors come, they go looking for, they go looking for the woman. They tell her the young lady is sick, blah, blah, blah. She still doesn't respond. They take her to the emergency room. They gave her some medication, but even after the medication, she ends up passing away. They end up finding out that the young lady died from ingesting rat poison. So come to find out that the stepmother was upset that she had gone to church, been baptized, and that's how she dealt with it. She poisoned her. Now, we just came off of a Twitch tip that says, stop pushing people out to church. Boy, is this a twist. Pastor Charlotte, what are we doing? We going to poison people because you accepted Christ?
That's just sounding like she was wicked and she didn't want her to get no further. As soon as she said that she was going, that she joined and gave her life over, she wanted to stop her right then and there. But what I'm not understanding is that when she gave her the poison, they wasn't in the room, evidently. Because I thought that they were there talking.
She left the room.
No, she left the room.
Yes, she gave her when they were all together.
Okay, I thought that they was like in the kitchen, and she was telling her as she was cooking, and then she walked out.
Yes, that's what happened. Yes, that's what happened.
So they didn't see her put nothing in there? That was my part right there that I was a little confused on. I didn't see you put nothing in my food. Yeah.
I guess not, Pastor Charlotte.
Yeah, she wanted to stop her right then and there. That's that wicked. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's
Pastor KL, I mean, you 23 years old. You might be living with the stepmother, but she had a 3-year-old little girl. You know, she was a grown woman. So you that mad that somebody accepts Jesus? Oh, we lost Pastor KL. I guess he went to sell them food stamps. All right. Tamika, what are we talking about here? You know, you're so angry at this adult woman for accepting Jesus that you feed her rat poison?
I heard nowadays these services are to die for. I really, honestly, in all seriousness, I joke around a little bit, but I just don't get it, you know. Maybe, you know, I'm thinking maybe she thought she was lying. You know, when you think about it, most services don't end till the wee hours of the night or morning. And, you know, I've been to a service myself that lasted, you know, way evening, you know, early morning. Or maybe she just didn't want her to do that at all. Or maybe she was just tired. You know, I'm tired of seeing you. You know, people just, you know, get to the end of their rope and they flip out. Nobody really knows the intention or why she did it. But, you know, just the whole concept. You thought about this for a while because you contemplated and you understood what could happen. I keep not really getting what is going on with this world. It's getting eviler and eviler, and it's so important and crucial that we have God in our lives. You know, I'm sorry that the lady had to lose her life in the process.
Yeah, the only thing they say is that the stepmother was Muslim. So, I mean, it's one thing for you to have a different faith. But for you to have a different faith to this degree where you will literally kill someone for just accepting Christ opposed to, you know, whatever, you know, whoever you're worshiping or whatever the situation is. But, you know, clearly they had to have some conversation about this before it, for me. You know, that's my thought. You know, that Johnny talked about this thing. She's voiced her displeasure, and you went and you did what you needed to do for you. And this is the way the stepmother, you know, has responded. And that's the scary part, because, you know, we really are blessed to have the level of freedom we have in this country. Pastor Charlene, when you think about it like that, what comes to your mind?
Which of being blessed here? Absolutely. Because a lot of people, they can't have no Bibles. They can't even meet. They automatically get killed. So we are tremendously blessed that we are able to still come together, still call on the name of Jesus in public, you know, and still being able to worship together. So absolutely, we really are. But as bad as it's getting, we better be ready because we don't know what's about to come.
Yeah, they're legalizing so many things. You don't know when they're going to start talking about the church. You have no idea.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Tamika, what's your thought when you think about how blessed we are that we don't have to really endure that level? You know, we have the freedom of going to church and, you know, just serving whatever God we serve. You know, it's okay. You don't have to deal with this.
I'm so grateful for the opportunity and the freedom. You know, I, you know, always have a book, you know, and I have never had any problems, any pressure, you know, sitting on a subway or a train, you know, reading my Bible or, you know, a Christian-based book. And not that I'm saying that there's anything wrong with reading any other books, but, you know, the freedom of actually being able to open up your Bible and not having to feel like you're ostracized because that's what you do. You know, I have seen, you know, in the past, you know, me riding with my Bible, somebody sitting across from me with the Quran, you know, whatever it is that you choose, the freedom of being able to say, I am who I am, this is what I believe in, and I express it the way that I want to. The same thing with when you walk up and down the street and you have people who are proclaiming what they believe. You know, in other countries, that's not a luxury. It's not something that you can do. You know, you can't even walk around with a book. You can't verbalize, you know, the name who you believe in other countries. So the fact that I can clearly say I'm a Christian and I believe in God is a luxury that, you know, we need to understand and honor and appreciate, because other countries and other places can't do that so freely.
Nope, not at all. They're in caves, they're in corners, you know, they're ripping off the cover of Bibles, you know, all so that they can, you know, serve God, you know, believe in God, you know, and here we are with all this freedom, and yet, you know, we don't appreciate it. We don't appreciate it at all. And that's the scary part. So that was a listener-submitted story, so thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and the story with us. All righty. So we got another story. Our friend of the Flashy Bishop is in the news again. This time for something a lot more interesting than this other garbage. So, they say that he is a slumlord, that he was on social media bragging about him having, you know, the biggest housing complex in the state of New Jersey, and that was back in December of 2021. Well, 5 months later in May, they say he began legal proceedings to evict the tenants, according to the court findings. So one tenant says that he's lived in one of the buildings that this bishop has since 2019, and he's one of those who's being evicted. And he told the news that he has not paid his $875 a month rental apartment. It's a two-bedroom apartment for the last 4 months because he was protesting the deteriorating conditions in the building. Now listen to this. There was no fire escape. The emergency doors are bolted shut, and his apartment has multiple leaks, roaches, and mice. He said that as soon as Whitehead took the apartment complex over, that he announced he was increasing the rent to $1,400 per month. Now, the bishop says that, you know, listen, that's the going price for apartments of that size. And, you know, what do you want? You are only paying $875. And we all know that that's what they do. That's what they do. When people buy, you know, these buildings, they immediately, if you're not paying market value, they're immediately increasing your rent. I ain't saying this right. I'm not saying this wrong. I'm just saying this is the way it is. So this gentleman says if the conditions are so bad that a homeless person shouldn't even be living there. And he said, when I brush my teeth, I have to place a bucket under the sink because it leaks so much. And he says, my stove has never worked. So here's the interesting part. So they say the evictions were taking place, and he has the $1 million loan on the building, which contained 32 apartments, that he was sued by the water company because he failed to pay the water bill on any of the properties. And he, at the same time, is living in a 9,000-square-foot mansion in Paramus that has 6 bedrooms and 7 bathrooms, and it is currently worth $3 million. So while he's living a lavish life, which is always the case, you know, these slumlords live this lavish life, and then when you look at the property that they own, the people are complaining that, you know, that they're living, you know, beneath, you know, the poverty level, even beneath the poverty level. So now here's what he's up against. So now they're like, okay, well, first of all, you're a bishop. and you looking to evict people. Pastor Charlotte, is it right for him to want to evict people and he's a pastor?
I'm going to say no, but they look at it as a business as well. My thing is, first of all, you're not doing the building correct. Now, you bought the building, fix it. Don't put the people in the street. That would be me. I'm not going to put the people in the street. What you need to do is fix all the things that needs to be done. And being able, why should you be able to go home and have water? Why should you be able to go home and sleep and there's heat and stuff? And these people, you don't have no kind of conscience at all. And you say that you are a bishop. That was my first thought. Yes, as far as when they do, the new person come in, the new owner come in and the rent goes sky high. Yes, that is true because it's happened over here as well. But you have to be able to work with the people as well. And you are a bishop. So where's your heart for the people? And that's my issue right there. Where is your heart for the people? And you don't have that. So you don't need to have that either. You don't need to be the bishop. I said that. And I also say you don't need to be a owner and have tenants.
All righty, all righty, Pastor Charlotte. Well, we got Pastor KL back. So let's see what he has to say about this whole arrangement. Good morning, Pastor KL. You were over there.
Good morning.
Over there selling the food.
Yeah. I had to get a couple of Twinkies. Yeah, Twinkies on sale.
All right, so you've heard this whole setup with this flashy bishop. So first, do you feel that that he should be evicting people, and he's a bishop?
Yes, I do. I feel that way. In business, be as men. Now if your stuff is horrible, then no, I don't believe you should be able to do that. But if it's just as this is your business, yeah, if people don't pay, they gotta go.
Okay, all right. What about the conditions of the building versus your home?
Well, yeah, I think that's bad. That I'm living well and, like Pastor Charlene said, I have heat and you don't have heat and I'm not concerned about your heat. I think that's really horrible.
All right. Tamika, what's your thought? Should he be evicting people? Should the fact that he's a bishop be a catalyst as to whether he evicts people from his property or not?
Here's the thing that concerns me about that whole situation. We didn't hear too much about all of that prior to the publicity, and I'm not advocating for or against him. However, we understand that the media has a tendency to pull out every little, they never pull out any good for any individual. Now it's, they're hunting after him for that concern. Do I feel that he should be evicting people? It all depends on his circumstance. If you're not paying the rent, prior to, we're not talking about, now, but if you weren't paying the rent before, there are steps and measures that need to take place, going back and forth to court, that type of thing. If you're doing everything that you're supposed to do, then I, as the owner, whether I'm a bishop or not, it's my responsibility to make sure that your living quarters are presentable, usable. This man or person said that they have a sink that they've never had to use. And if you've ever had any type of plumbing issue where water is coming and then it has to sit for a while, it has a smell. So nine times out of ten, that home, you know, it's not just that the sink doesn't work. I got a smell emanating from my sink. That's not me. You know, the, and spray can't make it but so well. You know, you're supposed to accommodate me so that I can live as a normal human being. I shouldn't have to function with stuff that's not working. The sink that's not functioning right, you know, or the stove or the refrigerator. Those are things that we automatically use on a daily basis. So do your job to make sure. I shouldn't have anything leaking from the ceiling. Those type of things. If you're going to have, especially considering the fact that you're living in a well-to-do home, at least make sure that I have the needs that I have that I'm supposed to have on a daily basis so that me and my family can live like normal people.
All right, all right. Here's a thought that came across my mind as I was listening to you all. So when we were talking about this situation with him, you know, being flashy and, you know, him being in an impoverished, his church, the congregation, having an impoverished scenario that they're living in. You know, he didn't own any of those buildings, but, and he said, he made the state. See, here's Tamika, here's why you always end up being snatched up. And the media has reason to pull up your nastiness. And like you said, you know, no, we didn't hear nothing about this before the robbery. But here's where you put your foot in your mouth. I remember specifically, because we talked about this, he said, my congregation is not poor. All right, so you said the congregation wasn't poor. You said that the church wasn't in an impoverished area. As a matter of fact, I remember him saying, well, as a matter of fact, my people are first-time homeowners. But yet you're running a slum situation? That's how you end up putting your foot in your mouth and now people can pull out stuff on you. Because you're not smart enough to know what to say and what not to say. So here you are saying that the people in the church don't live like this, but you're bragging on social media that you own the biggest complex, one of the biggest housing complexes in New Jersey, but yet this is the way the people are living. So once you start putting your mouth out there, oh, you know the media going to start digging. Especially when they mentioned from the beginning of the situation that you, here you are, you living on plush. Because that was one of the biggest issues that came up when he first got robbed. And they, why they thought that this was part, his, you know, just faking. So you're absolutely right. The media will always pull out all kind of dirt on you. However, be smart. Shut up. So, you know, you're complaining that they're saying that you don't have an impoverished situation. Then Pastor Charlene, how are you running an impoverished situation in the place where you're housing people?
Exactly. It goes back to, he's just taking the money. He don't care about the people. He just went and said, let me just do this right here. I'm going to get this building right here, and I'm just going to take the people money. But he don't have the heart for that, of being a owner. He doesn't have that heart. He's just about the money. And it's always been that way. Everything that he's saying, it's about the money. So my thing is, all of y'all pack up and let's have a road trip, and we all going to his house. Let's go.
Pastor KL, you know, here you are. You said your church is not, poor, but yet you're running a slum situation in your rental property.
Yeah, that's a major problem right there. I mean, first of all, if your church is not poor, they don't want to live there because they can afford to live somewhere better. So I'm not understanding why the situation is like that. You know, so I mean, if I'm not poor and I have enough money, surely I don't have to stay in these kind of conditions. So someone lying somewhere. No one just wants to stay there because, you know, they can. But my water is not running, and this, and I don't have no stove and all that stuff. No one chooses to stay there. Sometimes they stay there because there is no other means.
Absolutely. Tamika, they also showed a picture again of all this jewelry he had on. Yet again, you give the media something to talk about.
Yeah, and between what you're showing and what you're saying, you do cause them to open up. You know, you automatically become a target. You know, my thing is, just put on your regular clothes, you know, and it doesn't mean that you don't have it. You don't have to flash it, you know, and you've often heard him say, well, I can wear whatever I want. I can do this and that. But and then when they come after you have, you know, all of this stuff dangling around your neck, these, you know, high-end suits, I'm glad that you can afford it, but you do cause issues, you know. You cause them to come after you, and then just be silent, you know. They often said the best way to dispel a rumor is just not say anything, you know, and for you to come out and say, oh, well, nobody lives in an impoverished area. For all we know, somebody came to your church seeking. Now, we're talking about real life. Somebody came to your church looking for help. You said, oh, I'll put you in my place. Now they're there with no water or no, you know, something that's not functioning. They don't have any heat, and they have roaches and any other type of insect, you know. But you thought, they thought that they were going to be vibe, because when I look at a place like that and I go in and you telling me, you know, that when I get there that the sink doesn't work, when I first view a home, whether it's an apartment, whatever property, I'm looking at everything. I'm turning on water, I'm turning on lights, I'm opening up doors, because I need to understand that when I live here, whatever it is that I'm using is going to function properly. You know, sometimes you may not necessarily know that until later. You know, I'll give you a situation where you turn the water on, you turn it off, and it's fine. Then when you move in, you realize that you got a clog there. You turn the water on and you leave it on for a little while. Now the sink is backing up. Those are things that you can't see the first day. But, you know, my heart goes out to anyone who was in that situation. But these are the things that happen. And, you know, if you're not the place for me, then I need to immediately find me someplace else. And in this day and age in New York, it's very difficult. Prices are high and astronomical. And anyone who's in that situation, I do hope and pray that they can find someplace else that is accommodatable for their current situation.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, I got a question. Now, maybe y'all can help me answer this. Now, here we are. We have the gentleman who's making the chief complaint, right? And he says, let me read it, because I have to question who you are. He says, I want to make sure I get him quoted properly. He says he hasn't paid the $875 rent because the conditions are deteriorating. He said there is no fire escape. The emergency doors are bolted shut in his apartment, and his apartment has multiple leaks, roaches, and mice. He said as soon as Whitehead took over the property, that he pushed the rent to market value at $1,400. Here's my first question. How you move in a place that ain't got a fire escape that should have one? How you move in a place and the emergency doors are bolted shut? Because what you're saying is this stuff, when you moved in, it didn't have a fire escape. So how you raising hell now that the place don't have a fire escape? Somebody help me with this. Pastor KL, you told us before on here
that you were a property manager. Now, how people move in, something as crucial, if you ever look, if any of you ever looked at the pictures, you'll see it's a really weird-looking place because it looks like they're showing you like a side angle or a back angle, and they have doors, and there's nothing on the other side. Their doors are like up in the air, up on second and third levels, and there's nothing behind the door. So in other words, if you were to walk out the door, you'd have a third story drop, a second story drop, if you were to open up that door. So, Pastor KL, you move into this place. This place ain't got no fire escape. Do you now complain to the new owner that the place has no fire escape?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, because, again, you knew what it was when you walked there. Now, I would say this, that sometimes, because I heard Lady Tamika talk about the water and stuff like that, sometimes, depending on the landlord, there's no water on because they wait for you to turn the water on because they don't want to pay for the water bill. So when the last tenant left and took the water out of their name, the water's out. The water's off. So you don't know sometimes whether there's a pipe leaking or whether there's rust or whatever until you turn on the water in your name.
Wow. Well, that would be in a home, right? It would be in a building like what he has, right? Because his buildings have 32 apartments in it. So that's why he's being sued because he hasn't paid the water bill for the building. So these people, Lord have mercy. So these people are complaining that the water, there's water leaking when ain't no water running in some of these buildings.
Right. I can't.
But you know, I was just looking at the complaint and I'm saying to myself, well, I lived in a building before. And if the building should have had fire escape when I moved up in there, how am I complaining about the fire escape? There's no fire escape to the new owner, Pastor Charlotte. Is that cockeyed?
Definitely. When you went in, first of all, when you went in and you saw a door and ain't nothing but ground on the other side, okay, really? And if it's supposed to have been a fire escape or whatever that you know that's supposed to be in there, why would you? So you took that risk. Now to me, it sounds like now that you know this man that took over, the bishop takes over and he got money, now you want to bring that to attention? Yeah, that makes me look at you sideways too. So I'm with you on that piece. Absolutely. Because maybe now we won't say about the roaches and, you know, on the water piece, but that extra that you put in on, judge ain't going to give you that no way.
Yeah, because either the building should have had it. The building should have a, either the building should have a fire escape or shouldn't. And like I said, you know, for those of you who, you know, who afterwards who have time, if you look at the building, it's like, I would have never moved in this building. Because I'm telling you, when you open it looked like a cartoon building. When you open it up, ain't nothing on the other side of the door.
But you know what, Pastor Steph? I'm going to tell you, you know, just because he didn't complain at that particular time, if he went to court, the judge is going to give it to him. Because it's a fire track. It's inhabitable. So, I mean, yeah, we want to blame him. I mean, and it is shame on him for not, you know, complaining then. But if you want to complain now, if you want to complain 2 years from now, he don't win.
No, and don't misunderstand.
There,
look, I agree with you 100%. I agree with you because here's my thing. When you bought the property, you saw what it looked like. It didn't look, that didn't look
right.
Weird to you. Again, a person who's coming from a big $3.1 million home and all of this kind of stuff. When you look at the building, now here's my thing, Pastor KL. This is why I say I'm not giving an excuse to nobody. Because, listen, you from the hood. He's from Brooklyn. We don't have no buildings in New York that look like that. I've been in every borough. I have yet to see a building that when you open on the other side of the door, ain't nothing. I've seen buildings with like a makeshift, what do you call that? Like a makeshift, oh my goodness, like a terrace type of thing. And the door don't even open. for the aesthetic, you know, the presentation of the building. But here in New York, you've never seen a building where you open up a door and ain't nothing on the opposite side. This is a second two-story building. If somebody were to really open up their door, they'd be dead because they'd fall right there to their death. So when you bought that building, you already knew something didn't look right. So you bought the building, and not only that, you mean to tell me when you bought the building, the codes didn't tell you that there should be a fire escape? So I'm not giving anybody an excuse at all. Not at all. But it does make me wonder how people bring up this stuff at the end of the day just to buy them an excuse. Oh, you raised the market. You raised it to $1,400. Well, on the right side of it, you're absolutely right when y'all say he should have just building up the code. Then you go ask for your money. But you can't ask for your money just because it's market value. And the people living in a mess. So I don't know. I don't know. Is Lady Tamika with us?
I'm here. Yep, I am.
Okay. All righty. So my thing is, I'm going to ask you the question. When you moved in there, there was no fire escape. So now all of a sudden you're asking for a fire escape.
I was kind of inching in. I was waiting for this opportunity. A lot of times. You know, speaking transparently, which is what happened to me. They give you all the glitz and glamour of the apartment. You know, they show you what it could look like. They have a stage room, if you will, with the possibilities of what you can do with the room. They may show you one room that looks really, you know, they've got it decorated to do it, looks really, really good. You know, and just like, you know, Pastor KL said, you know, you got to get the coverage in your, you know, the whatever in your name, so they turn it off, you know, so you may not have that, you know. The other thing is you're so wowed by what you see that they don't even show you that area of the fire escape. Now that, oh, it's Bishop such and such, and you're hearing all this publicity, now you might want to push, you know, now you want to say something for all you, because my thing is there is no way. I'll give you a prime example with what happened to me. When I moved into this apartment, in a particular place, the sliding glass door, I had a terrace door that would go outside. That sliding glass door could be open from the inside or the outside because it didn't lock on the interior, you know. And I said to them, oh, well, no, I can't move into this place until you fix this. So their response was, oh, okay, we'll fix it, you know. But I decided not to, and ironically, after I declined, somebody else did move into that place. They still hadn't fixed it, you know, and it's been a year since they had moved in, and they still hadn't fixed it. So a lot of times they feed you pie in the sky. Oh, it's under construction. So you're under the ideal that, okay, they're going to fix it. But now you're 2 and 5 years in, and, you know, everything else has changed financially. Now you're here, and you have nowhere else to go. You know, that's one way that people end up stuck where they are.
Absolutely. I'm sure that there's a whole lot of okey-doke, you know, that people are, you know, pulling in that, you know, now the tenant gets surprised later when they don't get all the stuff. And like you said, now you've invested all your money in there. You can't just get up and leave, and now you're stuck with this scenario and with this living condition. I have a question, and this is a matter of opinion. You know, we talk a lot about, you know, the jobs that Christian people shouldn't have. And my question is, because of the fact that you may have to evict people, and I agree 100% with Pastor KL, you know, you have the business side of your life and you have the personal side of your life. And listen, business says you don't pay your rent,
you're going to have to get out in the street. However, we also know that you have multiple scenarios as to why people don't pay their rent. You know, Brother Al said it. You know, he had, you know, the tenant, and, you know, the tenant, you know, wasn't paying the rent, couldn't pay the rent, and then all of a sudden something happened with the son. So now you got here that, you know, you don't eat because the son just got stabbed. Is this something that you may really want? Now, let me go back before I even say that. You know, for me, I would always sooner rent a room than to rent the apartment. It's easier to get a person out of a room than it is to get them out of an apartment. You know, so I have done the landlord thing. You know, but because of that compromising situation of do I not? Should I not? You know, how do you maneuver in that and sleep at night, you know, without feeling bad and guilty and, you know, the whole nine yards? And I'll start with you, Tamika, because you may have to leave before we finish.
See, this is why I particularly chose not to do that. In the home that I reside in, there's plenty of room for another individual to move in. You know, we could have fixed a portion of the house so that they could actually have their own entrance and, you know, get access to everything that we have. But I don't want to have to deal with what if, you know, what if this person gets in, you know, and then depending on what state you're in, they're squatters, right? So, you know, you can't leave at a certain time. You know, I can't force you to leave. I just didn't want the headache. You know, I know myself, I would keep the home up, but what happens when you decide not to pay the rent? All of that type of thing. What happens when, you know, for whatever reason, you know, I ask you something simple like, could you move your shoes, or could you, you know, shovel the front yard, or, you know, sweep, you know, keep, you live here too. So my thing is, with that being the case, I'm expecting you to do certain things. What happens when you don't do that? And I myself, as a homeowner, having to take on that responsibility, I already said, I don't want the headache. I don't want the frustration. It's just too much. And so I decided, no, not for me. Because can I just live my everyday life without having to worry about this extra thing that, you know, and then I have to cover you when you don't cover me? That's a lot to deal with, and, you know, it's a lot of extra to your everyday life, something that I just choose not to deal with.
All right, all right, all right. I don't know, do you, Pastor KL? You know, what's your thought? We know you're not wrong. You know, it's not like a lawyer or a defense attorney. We know it's not that. But just that whole scenario of you may have to put a person out, or you may have to deal with certain things, or conduct yourself in a certain ungodly, or what looks like an ungodly manner. What's your thought?
Yeah, I don't think you have to conduct yourself in an ungodly manner. I mean, first of all, when people are not getting their way, they don't say, you're supposed to be a man of God, you're supposed to be this, you're supposed to be that. They're going to throw that in your face anyway. You know, if you don't pay, you can't stay. You know, we used to always say that, you know, you got to pay to play. You know, so there's things that you have to do in order to reap the benefits. You know, if I don't do my work, they're going to fire me. You know what I mean? I mean, and guess what? My boss is a godly man. So can I say, you know, hey, you're supposed to be a man of God, how are you firing me? If I don't work, I can't eat. And that's the bottom line. I mean, I don't feel bad. I don't know whether that's a bad thing or not, but I don't feel bad. Because, you know, people afford you, you know, certain benefits. But in those certain benefits, you got to pay for it. If I don't pay my medical part in my check, guess what? The doctor's not going to see me. Should I be mad at the doctor, even though I'm sick? No. You got to pay for certain benefits that you want.
All righty, all righty. For the record, I'm not saying that you are ungodly. What I'm saying is, you know how people always throw up at you, you're supposed to be a godly person. So I'm not saying that you're ungodly
when
you have to make your moves, but that's what people always throw at you, you know, when they hear you go to church.
Right.
Now you're supposed to be living all an exceptional life, and they're always looking
to get
off.
But you know what? They're going to say that if you don't lend them
$10.
You're
right.
If you don't lend them $10, then you're supposed to be my brother's keeper. You're supposed to keep me. You know, I'm not supposed to go fall with you. If you need to lend me $10, listen, if you need to lend me $10, you worse off than you really know. So who borrows $10? $10. That means I'm not getting the $10 back. I'm not getting it back.
And that's what I'm talking about when I say people put you in like what they would consider or you could consider a compromising situation. Because it's quote-unquote only $10. So they borrow the $10. They use the word borrow or they use the word loan. So you're not supposed to ask for this back because it's only $10. So that's what I agree with
$10.
You. $10. I agree with you. My thing is you came to borrow this only $10. Can I have my only $10 back? I don't feel like you have to ask you for my only $10. So, no. Pastor Charlene, rescue us. You know, is that something that, you know, you think about when you go into being a landlord and, you know, things like that? You know, you think about, well, you know, I may have to put somebody out, you know, and I may not be all that comfortable with that, so now I may not put the person out, but now I'm stuck behind the eight ball because, you know, they didn't jack me up. Well, what's your thought?
First, can I get $10 from all three of y'all? Thank you. You notice I didn't say borrow, and I didn't say have. I just said can. I just want $10. Well, for me, I would not do that because of I've had people to come and stay in my home and have said that they were going to pay rent, and they did it the first month, and then after that, they did not want to pay anymore. You know, you're supposed to be, when I approached them, they always had an excuse of why they couldn't, but you can't live nowhere free. And I've said that. Business is business. You know what I mean? Don't worry about my title because this is my house. So I could not do it because I don't want to put people in the street, but I will tell you, you got to go. You know me, I always help you find something. I'm always a helper. I'm going to help you find you a room or find you a relative or something, you know, because I know for me, I wouldn't be able to sleep, you know, having that over me. So that definitely wouldn't be a good business for me to be able to do that. But it's hard. It's hard to get people out, easy for them to come in, you know, and then people start off good. They do. They start off doing what you ask them, you know what I mean? Because you got to come to the table and say, hey, you know, whatever. Don't sneak. If you're having a problem, you know, and things do happen. You know, and I do want to say that things do happen where you might not have the money that month, but don't tell me you're going to pay me Tuesday. And then the Tuesday that came and then another Tuesday, you know, and then you get an attitude with me. You know what I mean? Because, you know, when people owe you money, they get an attitude with you.
Yes,
so they don't
all
have
the time.
Pay.
Yes, ma'am.
You know what I mean? So I will have to put you out, your clothes, you, everybody be at the door, lock change, you got to ring the bell, you know. So, no, it's not good for me. It's not good for me because I would be a little hurt on the inside. but I'm going to put you out, though. I'll cry on the inside and you cry on the outside. We'll be all right.
Thank you, Pastor Charlotte. Thank you, Pastor Charlotte. Thank you, Due Time Crew. You're always giving us something to think about. And we pray you have a blessed day.
You all do the same. I want my $10.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Let's get this benediction. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Revelation 7:12. You know, so much of what was said is so true. You know, again, you know, when people do you wrong, the first thing they want to do is challenge your level of Christianity. You know, I thought you was a Christian, and Christian people did this, and Christian people did that. And it's really hard sometimes to navigate through life with certain people because, you know, again, you know, they want to throw that up in your face in a heartbeat. And, you know, this is hard, you know. So I look at this bishop who's walking around with all of this jewelry on. That's the first thing they snagged was the jewelry that he was wearing. And if this jewelry is real, you're talking about, listen, he literally said that there was, what, $1 million, $500,000, $1 million worth of jewelry that was robbed from him. How much of that jewelry could he have gotten rid of to take care of those people who live in those apartments? So there's no excuse at all for people to be able to find you at such a wealthy end of the spectrum, but yet the people who are living and housed in your housing complex should live like this. Shame on you. Shame on you. You know, do we learn to look at things, you know, hindsight is 2020. You know, when he moved in, the gentleman moved in. It didn't have a fireplace when you moved in. You ain't think about none of that then. But now that you've got a flashy, look like they got money owner, now you know, you're stepping up your game, which makes him step up his game. So again, at the end of the day, you as the landlord look negligent. So, you know, these are some of the things that we get ourselves into, that as Christian people, we're really held on a higher, you know, on a higher level. You know, do we handle our buildings the way, you know, a regular landlord would handle the building? Well, no. Because we, you know, we're taught and we're given that, you know, we are to handle things on a much higher level than the average individual. We're supposed to think about life on a much higher level than the average individual. So come on, let's step up our game as people of God. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for always coming through big time. Thank you for hanging out with us today. Until tomorrow, Godspeed. Where it's Wow Wednesday, I love you.